clap offering this morning. He is worthy, He is mighty. And we just thank the Lord this day that He is here. You are here this morning to celebrate Jesus, to receive. I'm sure you all came this morning with your empty bags to receive the seed of God's word. And every part that's been put together this morning through the assimilation of this message and the discharge of this message bring you great reward. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord this day that He is our shield, He's our strength, He's our everything. Hallelujah. You must believe that, beloved. You must believe that in Jesus' name. And you are here this morning and you make my day by being here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're a family, and I pray that as a family, we must look forward to the gathering. There's coming a day that this will be the only gathering that will bring you relief, that will bring you sustenance. It will be the gathering that will bring you breakthroughs. Yes, the enemy thought that he could do away, we could do away with some of these gatherings, but God has His plan of bringing the church together. Amen. And you are here today. I just want to commend you for your great prayers, for participating in the weekday prayer sessions that comes on online or through the different means. Thank you for your prayers for us, for Pastor Val and myself. Thank you for encouraging one another during this difficult time. As you know, that they've said that the fourth wave could be imminent. It could happen very shortly. And Mama Val and I have taken a decision that if that fourth wave does appear, we will shut down again. Okay? They say the fourth wave will last 75 days and we will go to lockdown 5. So we pray to God that even as this is all orchestrated and planned, okay? You know that it's all orchestrated and planned. How would they know that? Okay, there's scientific data. It's all planned around the world. So we know that we do not fear because we are protected by Psalm 91. Amen? Yes. Psalm 91 is our protection. And whether we're on this side or whether God takes us to the next deeper room, we are still in Christ. Amen? Both realms belong to God. We sang today, hallowed be your name. Your will be done here as it is in heaven, which means there's two realms all the time. There's this side and that side, but both belong to God. So whether we are in the body or we are out of the body, out of this body, we are still in Christ. Amen. And so today we understand that if the fourth wave does come, and it will apparently do, it will come in the first week of December. We are anticipated very accurately that 2nd of December is going to come. And we understand that these are scientific conclusions that they've come to. And I pray that we will all just be under the cloud. We'll stay under the cloud, stay with each other, pray in your homes, continue praying in your homes, continue having a schedule where you are praying daily, praying in the morning, seeking the Word of God, opening the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, reflecting on the Word of God, praying the Word into your lives. I'm asking all your brothers in the house, protect your families, protect your children, who are daily waking up early, praying over them, declaring over them. And yes, God will see us through in Jesus' name. Okay? Would you do that? Amen. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Just be where God wants you to be. And they are saying that this is going to be more dangerous than what we've had, the waves we've had. And apparently, hospitals are already starting to fill up. So we are asking that you remain in Christ. Okay? Nothing outside must interfere with what's going on inside. Amen? Okay? Listen to me. I had a group on Friday, and I was talking to this group on Friday. And through plodding and questions and answers and provocative statements, I was able to extract from them, you know, what's going on in their life. And I said to the brothers that I mentor on Friday, I said to them, listen, what goes on the outside you cannot control. Mm. Right? Don't allow what's going on the outside to affect you what's going on the inside. Okay? If I did something to you, I'm outside you. You can control what's on the inside. Yeah. All you can control is what's on the inside. The whole world can collapse on your outside, but how you maneuver and how you administer the inside of you will determine your position and your stature. Don't allow what's on the outside to disturb what's on the inside. Okay, so we are bombarded by a whole array of stuff, and they are coming in fast and furious. But don't allow that to interfere with what's on the inside. Remember, life and death is in your tongues. So when you say certain things, don't send out anything that is not life. Would you do that? So be careful, be vigilant, be upright. Be immersed in the Word of God and stay connected to God so that nothing will disturb the sacred place inside of you. That place belongs to God. Okay? That place belongs to God. Always keep the house clean. Always keep your thought lives clean. Always keep your inner life clean. Always keep everything that goes on inside of you approved by God. Is that okay? So if you do that, you'll be strengthened. David strengthened himself when he went through hardship. You've got to learn how to strengthen yourself, how to stay in your closet, strengthen yourself. And one of the ways you do that, you speak the word over your life. Don't just read the word. You know, when you, even if you're reading, read it loud. Read it loud, because as you read it, it starts to adjust your inner life. But when you read it, any distraction comes, it's gonna throw you off track. So always read the word loud. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your inner life. Would you do that? Mm. Father, bless this house today as they prepare their minds. Yes. Lord, as they prepare their hearts, yes, to receive thought that's come from the throne room. These thoughts that come as seed, oh God, from your throne room this morning will adjust us, Lord. Will pick us up, Lord. Will encourage us, Lord. Will help us to become better equipped, Father, in the name of Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Okay. We are going to just get and try to also try to complete the series on the marks of a true disciple. How to adjust your life. And of course, once we understand the marks of a true disciple, death to self, imitating Jesus, servanthood, compliance to the standard of righteousness that belongs to God, having the indwelling word in your life, producing or being productive in all that you do and say, and we will touch on that today, loving your brothers, you know, in the invocation this morning that came out strongly, how to have love for others. And of course, giving God exclusive devotion. Let's turn to our first verse of scripture, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. Matthew 12, verse 24 to 26. And we will understand the whole aspect of giving God exclusive devotion. The words in your Bible where it says, unless you hate your mother, your father, your spouse, your children, you cannot be my disciple. That word hate does not mean, it is not a negative word. It's not a derogative. It doesn't speak about anything that is where you abhor or you detest somebody. It has to mean, if you go deeper into the Greek, it means loveless. Love, not loveless. Yeah. You must love less. So you love someone less. You love yourself less than you love God. You love others less than you love God. Okay? So you always elevate God to the number one position in your life. Okay? So, yes, you love others. You love your mother. You love your father. You love your husband. You love your wife. You love others. But that love does not supersede or exceed the love that you have for God. Okay? So he occupies the number one place. I know in Hinduism, the number one place is given to your father, mother, or mother, father. It goes. What? Your teacher, and then finally God. Okay. So we are saying in our walk, number one position is God. If you put God first, everything else works. And His word is telling us, unless you put me first, you cannot be my disciple. So it's no use studying discipleship if you on your own cannot put God first. If you can't love God, sacrifice for Him, and treat Him as the number one position in your life. Now, what's going to help you determine and see whether you love God? It's opposition. There are challenges, positions that come. Sometimes attacks come. It'll tell you or it'll help you to determine whether you put Him first or not. Okay? You know, when everything is smooth, you somehow tend to please God somewhere, but not on the number one of your life. But when you're going through issues, then you call in upon it. So sometimes problems, trouble, opposition, catastrophes all come our way to push us to make God number one. Okay? So sometimes we curse these situations, but somehow God teaches us lessons, and we will talk about how God disciplines us by problems, so that He uses problems, He uses different means to push us to a place where we are disciplined and we make Him number one in our lives. He's a loving Father, and He knows that's the order. Not that he suffers from a low self-esteem, but He wants us to have... No, when we give Him this preference and preeminence in our lives, suddenly He's elevated to the highest position, and then this flesh starts to die. Reason why we put Him up is because to bring this flesh secondary. Let's read this. Now, when the Pharisees heard, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of..." Is this John? John chapter 12. Sorry, John chapter 12. John 12. Okay, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain, a harvest. When we talk about discipleship, there has to be the process of death to self in order for you to get your much reward or your much harvest, okay? The Bible is saying, unless that wheat dies, that grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will not produce what's required by God, which is much, much, much produce, okay? Now, I want to just throw a principle that I've studied. There is an expectancy from God, and there is an expectancy for us to produce. What is the expectancy of God? Is for us to produce. If we don't produce, we come short to the expectancy that God has from us. Okay? So in everything, as a husband, you have to produce, you have to be responsible, you have to know how to provide for your family. As a husband, you have to know how to care for your wife. There's an expectation that is automatic, and you have to meet that, okay? You have to meet that expectation. So here we are saying, the Bible is saying that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will not produce much grain. Verse number 25, he who loves his life will lose it. So that's another reason why we don't invest too much on ourselves. Self-actualization, self-esteem, self-elevation, all of those things, covetousness and thinking of yourself more than what you should be. So here we are saying, the word of God saying, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life or treats his life secondary, less in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Will keep it forever, which means that when you leave this plane and you go to the next plane, you can enjoy eternal life in this life And when you go, it is an extension of that eternal life. Why? Because you cared less for your personal life and you did not give your flesh the preeminence. And that's why, again, beloved, when we have opposition, when something comes externally, it will help us to determine how much we love ourselves, what premium we place on our own life. We become hypersensitive. We become so sensitive because we are messing up something's messing up our space. So this is, you will determine, this verse helps us to determine how much we think of ourselves, that nothing must disturb that space. So what God does, he brings in different types of attacks or different types of situations that we face that will determine where we are, how sensitive we are, how much we value our lives more than others, the lives of others. Come on. So Jesus is saying here, you must try to lose your life. Say, lose it.
Lose it.
When you lose it, it falls into his hands and he controls you. But if you want him to lay aside from your life and not come into your space, and when you control it, you mess things up.
Yeah.
This walk is about handing over to him to lead your life for you.
Yeah.
And I will say, in my own words, that is success, where I hand over for him to live and lead me. The Bible says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. You've got the approval of God when you know how to lose your life. You got the approval of God and the honor from God himself when you know how to lose yourself, become less sensitive to who you are, and you become more sensitive to others are and what he wants from you. Isn't that a wonderful verse of scripture?
Amen.
Where God himself, you're not looking for the approval of man, you're not looking for the approval of others, you're not comparing yourself with others, where you're losing sleep because and steam because others treat you less. Yeah. If you're a servant of God, a servant of God serves the purposes of the master. That means I am not going to allow anything and anyone to deter me in this journey to be honored by my Father.
Amen.
No one is going to derail me. No one is going to deter me. No one is going to pull me back. Nothing and no one. Because I am on a track, I'm on a journey, I'm on this road of receiving honor from God. Why? Because I am going to die to myself. So there's a process of death and there's a process of honor and elevation. That comes from God. Unless you die to yourself, you're not going to have the access to this honor. Okay? So that's very important. Number two, the expectation from God is that we come up to his standard. God will come up to us and pick us up, but his aim is for us to adopt his standard of righteousness. Okay? There's a world dictating to us, but today God wants us to honor him. Let's turn to, in the Amplified, to Isaiah chapter 5, and I want to read a few verses of scriptures on, you know, the expectation of God and how we must come up and measure up to that expectation as disciples, as true disciples, as one that will emulate, imitate the very nature of God. Isaiah chapter 5 from verse 1, read, let me, as God's representative, sing of and for my greatly beloved God the Son, a tender song of my beloved concerning his
vineyard.
His vineyard. What's his vineyard?
His chosen people.
So we are going to talk a little later on John chapter 15 on the vine dresser, on the branch, and on the fruit. Okay? And the imperative here in this narrative is that we produce not just enough fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit. Much fruit. You saw that early on, that much harvest, your much harvest comes when you know how to die to your own agendas.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
John chapter 12, verse 24 to 26 tells us explicitly that we become beneficiaries to a great harvest when we know how to die to ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
Let's look at the expectation of God. And if we don't meet the expectation of God, to whom much is given, much is required. Each one of you has a purpose. There is the will of God over your life. There's a purpose of God over your life. And there's a plan of God over your life. Now you have to meet that. You have to identify that. How? By searching things out. Okay? So in this place, there's a whole, you all are ministers for God. Wherever you are placed, you're a minister for God. Amen?
Amen.
Wherever you are placed, you are a minister for God. And so we all are full-time ministers, reflecting the nature of God, reflecting the character of God, bringing the hope and the principles of the word to a lost generation. So let's go read this again. Let me, as God's representative, sing off and for my greatly beloved God the Son, a tender song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My greatly beloved had a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And he dug and he trenched the ground and gathered out the stones from it and planted it with the choicest of vine and built a tower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine press in it. And he looked for it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth
wild grapes.
The expectation from God is to bring forth life. You must exude with life. You must bring forth a result in your life. So you're not just an item. You are purposefully placed within the economy of God to bring forth what he's required.
Yeah.
But the expectation was not met. There was grapes, but the grapes was wild. And he's looking forward for something that is bigger and greater and more beautiful than wild grapes. Let's read on. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard, my people. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done in it? What more can I do for you, God's choice people, that I've not done for you? I've taken you out of the muck and mire. I've placed you on a rock. You were on your way to die and to be lost. I came your way and I brought you out. I gave my life. As I said last week, we have the name of Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the finished work of Calvary. We have an open heaven. We have the love of the Father. What more do we need? We have been redeemed. We have been given a new name called Father. We are in a new economy, the economy of heaven, that even if everything dries up on this plane, God will still sustain us from Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
All of that is at your disposal. Now, why are you producing wild grapes? And straight away, God is saying, there is my side and their side. Why? Because they do not meet my expectation. No one in this room can deny that God has not done much for you.
True.
If you say so, then I arrest my case and I will sit down. Because every one of you in this room can say that God averted certain disastrous things in your life.
Yeah.
That God came for you in the midst of your turmoil.
Yeah.
That God chose, He knows best and He chose best for you. Come on.
Yeah. Mm.
Some of us have made the most, made the lousiest decisions in our life, but God came and helped us adjust that. Come on.
Yeah.
That even through our darkest times, He was there for us.
Yeah.
Come on. Mm. Don't show Him a point. He's too big. He's too beautiful. Mm. Just submit so that you start producing that standard of grace that He wants from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What more could have been done for my vineyard that I've not done in it? When I looked for it to bring forth grapes, why did it heal wild grapes? You see, God's not going to do anything in the earth outside you. You are His mouthpiece, disciples. You are the ones that He's going to use to bring a multitude of people to Him. And when He looks for you, you are not available. You are not producing. You are too busy with the stuff that relates to your flesh that's supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
And so let's go on. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Let's hear it. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, which means that you are open to demonic activity.
Yes, mm.
I will take away my hedge. This is God speaking, all right? Now, the whole of the word, all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And it is tended, and these examples has the intention of drawing us to attention. Attention to what the Master is saying. Attention to what God is saying. All scriptures, you have to look at it from a spiritual point of view. You have to look at it from a contextual point of view. You've got to look at it from an historical point of view. And you have to look at it from a prophetic point of view.
Yeah.
So you can't just look at it. It's not one dimensional. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The face value of a scripture can be a story, but inside of it is a parable.
Yeah.
What's a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's why God speaks in symbols, He speaks in dreams, He speaks in parabolic language, He speaks in metaphoric language. The word of God is very deep. And intense, come on.
Mm.
Very intense. We may read the scripture, but we must meet the word in the scripture.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we won't have a fulfilled life. So He's saying, this is what I'll do. Number one, I'll take away its edge, and it shall be eaten and burnt up, and I will break down its walls. And it shall be trodden down by enemies. Who is talking about? The church. The vineyard. These are the things. You see, when God moves His hand away from you, you'll be demonically influenced. You know why? You'll have no peace.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't sleep. You'll be restless. It's why? Because God has moved His hand away from you.
Yeah.
Now, but grace tells us that God, we can bring the hand of God back over our lives.
Yeah.
Because He's a loving Father.
Mm.
Do you know that mercy can rewrite your life and your future?
Yeah. Mm.
All you have to do is repent and bring Him back over your life. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Throughout the scriptures, He said to Judah and Israel, He said to them, repent, repent, repent. Change your mind, change your ways, and I'll be there for you again, no matter how bad. That's why, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how you messed up, there is room at the cross for you.
Amen. Yeah.
There is a place God has prepared for you, that you can come back to that place.
Mm.
Otherwise, God can remove this hedge over you, and if you are the dominant person in your economy, your family, and if God moves the hedge over you, you're going to introduce a whole lot of things into your space.
Yeah.
And don't blame others. Look first on the inside. Where am I going wrong? Where am I disappointing God? Where have I lost respect for God? Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame anyone else. Look first for the solution, the problem inside of you.
Yeah.
Have I opened the door? Have I opened the door? You know? So these are important things that we have to take into consideration when we are just, you know, sometimes in your dream, you feel like, hey, I'm just falling, I'm not coming to an end. How many of you had that kind of dream? Someone is chasing you, you can't just, you can't run. There has to come a time where you have to stop in your track. And intelligence tells us, make a concerted effort to evaluate. Do a forensic look up into your own life. Where have I gone wrong? Start from yourself. Okay? Now, I will tell you what I will do. I'll do all these things. Verse number 6. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or cultivated, but they shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it.
No word.
That's why that vineyard will have no rain upon it, no doctrine. It will dry up whilst this vineyard on this side is flourishing. And you look from your vineyard and you say, why is that side flourishing? Don't look at that side and say, why is that person progressing and not me? Today, you got to take stock of your life. Has the door been opened to something in your life?
Yeah.
Dryness. No rain. No rain over your life. No doctrine. No life. Because I'll show you this now, what doctrine be. There are three types of people that are lobbying for your life. It's a thought of God, it's a thought of man, and it's a thought of demons. Each has a doctrine. God has a doctrine, man has a doctrine, and the devil has a doctrine. I'll show you right now. Okay? But look at what's happening to this whole vineyard. No rain. What will happen? Come on, children. What will happen if there's no rain on plants? It'll die. Let me tell you something. We have a garden at home. Okay. Mama Val will take the hose to hose some of these plants. She will stand sometimes for 2-3 hours with the hose pipe. I can hear her singing and talking to those plants and reviving them, watering them. Let me tell you something. Every day you water those plants for 2 hours, it is not as effective as 5 minutes of heavy rain that comes down. The natural rain of 5 minutes does a better job. Am I right?
Yes.
Those that are in the garden. Does a better job than 2 hours of hosing. So the hose is all man-made means of putting water on those plants. But when the rain comes, it has something that's different from water that comes through a system.
Hallelujah.
God is saying to you are too reliant on systems. Systems will dry up. Systems can stop operating. They are saying in Johannesburg, in January, there's going to be no water. Water is going to be shut down. I think it's going to be for a whole month. Okay? What's going to happen to plants when there's no water? Those system, man-made systems cannot sustain those plants. Are you with me? When that water comes through those systems from the reservoir to your hose pipe or to your tap, there's a whole lot of chemicals added on, additives. It breaks the neutral value of that water. Right? You've known that when When you have a problem with the water shutting down in your area, and as soon as it comes on again, you open the tap, you see all kind of additives coming through those through your tap. It's murky. Sometimes it's muddy, and you can't drink that. You have to wait until it's purified. Now, this is what God is talking to the church. There is a company of people amongst us that must rise up from the situation of being not being reliant on systems.
Yeah.
I'm coming to church. I'm marking the register. All of those things God's not interested in.
Mm.
I was with a set of pastors last night for dinner in Pietermaritzburg. And as we were chatting, we came to the conclusion as we sat in this restaurant and we came to the conclusion that God is no more interested in numbers. God is no more interested in a fancy building. Let me announce to this church, we have scrapped our plans for our building. That would have come to about 10 or 12 million. I underestimated, but because of procrastination and all the challenges that come, the price of material for that has gone up. The question is, Ivan, do you need a fancy building or do you need a structure to get into and worship God?
Yes.
And so our plans have been redrawn. Gabriel is helping us on that, is working on that. It's been redrawn by architects. And he himself, who is an architect, came to the conclusion, because an architect is different from a plan drawer. A plan drawer is excellent in putting something that is has four walls, should I say. But an architect thinks beyond, he's creative in his thinking, and he'll introduce a whole lot of expensive ideas. Is that right? His ideas are expensive.
Mm.
And he himself came to the conclusion, you are right, Pastor. Is that right when we had a meeting, Gabriel? He said, you are right, Pastor. Let's redraw this. Post-COVID, the demands have changed. We'll give you something good, but it'll be in the region of 2 million or 3 million. And we have to go by that. Things are changing. We cannot hold on to things anymore. What we are doing at home is going through our house from one side, and everything, anything that we have not used, and anything that is that we have excesses of, we are packing it to give it away. You go portable in your life.
Yeah.
You keep it simple. There's no distractions.
Yeah.
Or something that weighs you down all the time. And God is saying, come back to that point.
Mm.
Because your production is determined of how heavy laden you are or how portable you are. Do you know when you keep it simple, you can see better? Go to your wardrobe, especially you beautiful ladies. How many outfits you haven't used in a while? But it's squeezed somewhere between all your other clothes. And you push it out and you see there's a top up what 3 years ago, it's still got the label. See, but you are able to see stuff when you have just enough. Post-COVID, okay? Excesses sometimes breeds this whole spirit of being covetous. I only want, I want, I want, I want. That's why shopping in malls is dangerous sometimes. Because you can't, you're depressed if you leave that mall without having a packet in your hand. I was there, right? Okay. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned or cultivated, but they shall come up briars and thorns. See, the word pruned and cultivated has to do with discipline. I'll stop disciplining you. I'll take my hand away from you. Because you, that's what you want. Mm. You don't want to produce, be productive.
Yeah.
You're too busy. Every time you call upon by my spirit, you're too busy. What you're busy with? You're busy with so many things because you're crowded. There's too many things occupying your mind. This thing is talking. That's why I say to you, you know, when you have a crowded mind, too many things to worry about when you wake up, you can't read the scriptures silently. Those things will flood your mind.
Yeah.
You'll be thinking about all these things while you're reading the word, and the word does not go into you.
Mm.
It comes and it bounces off your mind. And if nothing goes inside, nothing to work on.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay? So, for it to go into your heart, you must have a clean and a clear mind. Mm. And that only comes when you know how to keep it simple and don't crowd your mind with too many things.
Yeah.
How about you this morning? Are there things in your mind where there's no? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, or the church of God, and the men of Judah, his pleasant planting, the plant of his delight. And he looked for justice, for behold, he saw oppression. He looked for righteousness, that means for uprightness and right standing with God. But behold, he heard a cry of oppression and distress. Is that not the state of the church today? Indirectly and directly. Is that? Woe to those who join house to house by violently expelling the poorer occupants and close large places, and join field to field until there is no place for others, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. You introduce loneliness to your own world by your disobedience to God. How about you? Sometimes you lie down in bed, you feel like giving it up. You feel like I'm lonely. You feel like there's nothing good going on in my space. That shouldn't be so. You know, you could wake up in the morning in two ways. You can wake up in the morning and say, oh, good Lord, morning, 5 minutes more in bed. Or you can jump out of bed and say, good morning, Lord, I'm ready for this day.
Yeah.
You got a choice.
Mm.
Some of us are moody. And only at 10 a.m. we feel that we can start talking to others. Before that, don't come in my space.
Another morning.
Yeah. But this way of waking up, springing out of bed, is Lord,
true.
I'm ready for this day.
Very
because
true.
I am the righteousness
of
God.
Very true.
I am the Son of
Amen.
God. I influence the area where I walk.
Yeah.
Every step where I walk and when I rise up, it becomes a possession for me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I possess the space.
Yeah.
I declare over the space. And when I declare, things are formed supernaturally.
Yeah, very true. Good.
Amen. So you can continue reading that. And there's a verse of scripture, I don't know where it says on that. It says, the expectation of God was not met. I think it's one of the verses there, Joey. But let's look at what doctrine is. Rain is doctrine.
Yes.
So let me just talk to you this morning. Sons of God love doctrine.
Yes.
They love the word of God. They don't want anything else because the word of God sustains us. I told you the word of God is bread from heaven.
Yes.
There's two portions to that. There is the foundational word and there's a rhema word. There's a logos and there's a rhema. What's a logos? It is this written word, okay? But in it, God could speak fresh things. That's rhema. Fresh words that the bow of God, the speakings of God, can preach. And the Holy Spirit, his job as God in the earth is to inspire, to breathe over that word. That as you're reading it, as you study it, as you speak it, as you study it, meditate upon it, he's breathing upon it. And suddenly something hits you and you're stuck. You look at it a few times. It means that he's ministering to you. Quickly take out a pen and write what he's talking to you. Because that becomes rhema for you. It means you're going through something and he's speaking to you. That word is stuck in front of you. It could be one verse, one word, one chapter, whatever it is. you are being ministered to. Like I put up Isaiah chapter 5, it ministered to me. Why the hedge is broken? Why the enemy is coming in? Why there's no rain? We thank God that God has been gracious to this house, that there is word in this house.
Amen.
That there is word, and word takes preference over singing. Mm. Word takes preference. You see, everything else we do goes up. Word comes down as rain. Word comes down. I think it's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Let's turn to that verse of scripture concerning rain. I think we got a few minutes. Isaiah 55, a defined doctrine and a few things. But Isaiah 55, isn't the word ministering to us, beloved?
Amen.
Verse, let's read from verse 8 onwards. God is saying to us, and maybe you can read with me, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Don't try to equate my thoughts with your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The way you assess a situation, the way you look at a thing, does not mean that necessarily I'll approve it.
Yeah.
Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Amen.
Not a prophet, not a pastor, not a preacher. God is saying, I want you to etch that into your lives. That God's thoughts are not our thoughts.
Amen.
Neither our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Amen.
And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So dump your thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm.
Relegate all your thoughts. Start adopting his ways and his thoughts. I tell you, you'll go a long way.
Yeah.
That's what you are wanting over 10, 15, 20 years can come to you in a day.
Yeah.
When you start bringing his ways.
Amen.
So when you pray, you're not giving him a grocery list. You are telling him, Lord, bring your ways to override my ways.
Yeah.
I want to listen to your thoughts on this issue. You speak, O God. You speak. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Today there's two portions. There's a portion for you to sow, and there's a portion for you to eat.
Mm.
That's why I said to you, at the same place, you're the house of bread. You are Bethlehem, the house of bread. But also you are Ephratah, one that should be fruitful, so that others can queue up and eat off you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have twofold responsibility. Yes? The house of bread, where you store up your bread, and then you are Ephratah. People come to draw from you. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. You have this analogy, this picture in your mind now about rain. When it comes down, it doesn't go up again. Hello?
Yeah.
The verse says, now, he's coming to the crux of what he's trying to tell us. Paints a picture in our minds, and then he gives us the principle. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect.
Yeah.
It will not be useless.
Yeah.
That's why I say to you, beloved, respect the word of God.
Yes.
Don't
Hallelujah.
Wonder when the preaching comes.
Yes.
Don't be giggling and laughing and doing all funny things in an auditorium where the word of God is coming. It's like you've got your loved ones with all the pipes in the ICU.
Yeah.
You can't go in and use your cell phone. You can't go in and giggle and laugh. Come on.
Mm.
It's a serious place.
Yeah.
This is like an ICU ward. This is where surgery is taking place.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
God is taking out the heart of flesh, stone, and putting back a heart of flesh. Something's happening here.
Yeah.
Don't stop the flow in this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respect the word of God.
The evidence, yes.
So essential. That's what he's saying. Don't make the word useless. Don't make it with producing nothing. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Amen.
So the word of God will always have the dimension of prosperity attached to it. The word prosperity has to do with abundance, more than enough, and living above the standard that you have set for yourself. God's standard is higher than our standard. Amen? So take this down if you are taking some notes. Doctrine means something taught. Doctrine means something taught. And you see, this is why you need your faith activated by a preacher. And the preacher should be one who fathers your future.
Mm.
And God has placed delegated responsibility. If you looked at Isaiah chapter 5, he used the word representative in the word. We are representatives bringing the word of God to you as teachings, as rain falling from above. You heard that? As dew settling on your life. And so that the seed of the word can germinate, can grow, and produce your much harvest. No son of God should scrape the barrel. Every son of God should be learn how to shift in every sphere of your life from not enough to more than enough. Because if you have this big God in your life, if you have the Holy Spirit abiding inside of you, then if he's so close to you, living inside of you, why cannot an individual, a son of God, is dialing 333. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you cannot fathom.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's inside. He's closer than your bank. He's closer than your manager. He's closer than your ATM card. He's right inside of you. Come on. The reason is we go to our flesh first before we consult with him. Call unto me and I will answer you. Affirmative. I will answer you.
Yeah.
I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know and you cannot process.
Mm.
Because it's coming from me. So doctrine means something taught. It means instruction, teaching. The principles that we bring to you is doctrine. So all the word has piled with doctrine. So what's theology? Theology is the study of God. The word theology comes from two words. Comes the word theos, means God, and the word logos means word. So when you talk about theology, it's a word about God. Okay? So doctrine has to do what is taught. So we teach doctrine, we teach the whole economy of God. Amen. You got that. Let's turn to John 13:17, Joey. Theology has to be practiced. It has to be practiced. And what script we use is doctrine. We can't come with fables. We can't come with the philosophies of man. We can't bring here to parade how much I know. No. You bring Christ.
Amen.
And next week we will talk about that. How to expose Christ. And when you expose him, that's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Okay? This is very important. If you know these things, what's things? Theology. Everything about God, everything about Christ, Everything about the Holy Spirit, the study of the Holy Spirit is called students. The Holy Spirit is pneuma. The study of pneuma, in the Greek it pneuma, in the Hebrew it is ruach. It's the breath of God. The study of pneuma is pneumatology. Study of the word of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The study of Christ is called Christology. Study. So we all here today in a classroom of the Spirit studying. Because we want to study more. What we study and what we acquire as knowledge, it improves us. It opens our spiritual eyes. We see things that we ordinarily cannot see. Me. So I believe all of you are students of the word, and you want to grasp and gain those deep principles that will shift you from one level to another level. It's the same school, like a school. A school has grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5. The grade 1 child has limited knowledge as compared to grade 5. Similarly, in this school, we have different grades of people. You must upgrade yourself. Upgrade yourself until your knowledge is of the word is increased. Okay? So if you know these things, blessed and happy are you to be envied are you if you practice them. So that you gotta know these things, and then when you know something, you have to practice them. If you act accordingly and really do them. So what's the scripture is actually saying in the New King James? That if you find something, don't just keep this knowledge indigestion, keep this knowledge inside of you, constipated with this knowledge. No, you must be able to practice them. Yeah. Your practice tells you that the stuff that's inside of me now, I've got to give it out. I've got to teach it. I've got to display that to others. Okay? So I'll give you the definition. I'm going to stop right there. Stand with me. We know doctrine is something taught, teachings, instruction, principles that are taught to teach the substance. We've got to teach the substance. Say, I'm ready for the substance.
I want the substance.
And that is doctrine. Doctrine always comes from heaven, comes from God. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, this day as we come to the end of this session, we've learned, Lord, from Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 55, John 13:17. And we've learned, Lord, today that you want us to develop, to grow, to become knowledgeable in the word, and to live our lives, Lord, pleasing you. Lord, today we shelve our ways and our thoughts. And we put on, Lord, the garment of righteousness that you will present to us this morning. Our stained garments, we will, Lord, shun them. We will discard them this morning. We take on the garments of righteousness today.
Yes, Lord.
This righteousness is your standard. It's what you want. It's your thoughts. It's your ways. It's your will for us, Lord. Lord, as a church, we dare not come short of what you want. We pray today that every single one in this place will take heed to the word of God. Lord, the vineyard will produce the right standard of grapes. Not wild grapes, Lord. Wild grapes are discarded. But the grapes that are cultivated. Grapes that are produced, Lord, in a very meticulous and arranged manner. We pray, Lord, that we'll become that. We present ourselves before you so that we receive your approval, Father, in our lives. Bless this house. Bless this family, Lord. Keep everyone, Lord, under your radar, that you will guide us, that you will lead us, that you will divest yourself into us.
Thank
so that we will become enriched by who you are to us, Lord. Today we thank you, Abba Father, for your gracious mercy, love and peace. Lead us by your Spirit, I pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of our family members here today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for receiving the word of God. We pray that you'll go home and process it. God be with you.